done. How's everyone going? Good to see you all. Sorry, I was running a bit late. Mr. Graham, how are you? Yeah, yes, thank you. Good to see you, Graham. It's all good. Oh, wow. That's the other way. Good to see you all. Donovan, Janine, back from Africa. Well done. Any landing on a plane is a safe landing. You know, any landing is a safe landing. This morning, I just want to bring you some encouragement and just to, these lights are super bright. Bring you some encouragement in the Lord, and for you to just know this, that God loves you. And I think one of the things we have to be able to do is to actually rest in the love of God. Because what we do is that we look at our current self, we see all our flaws, we see all our issues, and then we say to ourselves, can God surely love me when I am doing things that I should not be doing? When I am watching things I shouldn't be watching? And of course, you've then got an enemy that comes into your minds to say, if you were really a Christian, if you really belong to the Lord, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. But the one thing that if you want to be happy in your life, maybe happy is not a good word, but if you want to be content, you need to rest in the knowledge that God, what? God loves you. And that God is good. That's the first thing, that God is good. Because I think that when you just accept that for your life, then everything else will, yes, you might be going through issues, but you will filter it through the correct lens that God loves me, first and foremost, and I will rest in his love and I'll accept his love for my life. Because when you don't do that, you are going to be constantly tripping over yourselves, trying to prove yourself worthy to be called a son and daughter of the Lord. Amen? Amen? So to all our young people here, you've got your whole lives ahead of you. And to all of us with still, it's in the bag, with our lives ahead of us, just rest in that God loves you and that he is inherently good. That's, you know, Psalm 107 basically says that, you know, the Lord is good because his mercy endureth forever. And then it basically says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So it's meaning that those that have been saved by God, have been taken back by God, you have to declare the things that God has done for you. But it all starts in the acceptance of the love that God loves you and that he's good. Amen? That wasn't my message, but that was just a little encouragement. And so I'll get into the flow of things. We've been doing this series called Yielded. Can I just tie my shoelace? It's annoying me. Sorry. You're very kind. That's correct. Well done. So, we've been speaking about being yielded, stepping out in faith, like Abraham stepped out in faith. The call of the Lord is that we are yielded in trust, that you trust the Lord. And so, because you trust him, then you step out in faith. You are going to have to learn to develop some skills, some spiritual skills in your life. And one of those things is the ability to hear the voice of the Lord and to trust that God has your best interests. Because all of us, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, There is God's ideal, then there's our ideal. The question we have is that, will we yield to what God's ideal is? That's going to be the issue for us. Will we yield to what God's ideal is for our lives? That is a challenge for all of us. And so as we step out in faith, because we're developing an ability to hear the voice of the Lord and to understand his word, because his word is going to guide us along the way. That when we are faced with a situation where I might, well, not me necessarily, but somebody that's younger than I am and not married will meet a girl or a boy, and they will place expectations on them. For those of us who've been old, or who are old and who've been young before, remember what it was like when you just held the hand of the girl. The electricity would flow through you. And then after a while, you don't feel that current anymore when you hold the hand. Then it may be on the shoulder and you feel really good. But then the challenge then becomes, how do I keep myself pure before the Lord? So this is why we trust that God's ideal for us is good. What he has in store for us is good, and that's what we should be always striving for. Then we have to wait for God's timing. It's one thing to want something, but then it's another thing to wait for it. And we have to understand that in that process of trusting God, it is not a place of punishment, but it's a place of preparation. So Abraham's journey with God teaches us about trusting God with our deepest desires and us being willing to surrender what we hold most precious today. So what we're going to be doing today is that I want you to see yourself in Abraham's journey. Perhaps you're waiting on God for something. Your Lord, I need something in my life. You're holding on to a promise of the Lord. Or you're struggling to trust him through a test. So Abraham's story is our story. It's a powerful example of how faith is lived out in real life. So what have we learned over the last few weeks? So just a quick recap. You trust the God of impossibilities. Sarah, 90 years old. Abram was 100. They gave birth to a son. So they had to trust God for things that they wouldn't, that naturally would not happen in their lives. So we have to be those that have to trust in the Lord. And one of the key things as you read Genesis chapter 18, where God said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Because what that challenges us to do, and that is a question that he posed to Sarah when he said, when I return, he says, I will come to you this time next year, and your wife will have a son. And so the lady, Sarah, she was 90 years old or 89 at the time, she laughed. And the Lord said to her, why are you laughing? And then she said, no, I didn't. And then they had a back and forth. And then he said, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So we have to trust that God is the God of impossibilities, that no matter how dire your situation is, God will always make a way for you. We find purpose in waiting. They waited for 25 long years. But they waited, they held on to the Lord, they were trusting him, building a deeper trust with the Lord. So God's delays are often purposeful, and he's preparing us for blessings that will arrive at exactly the right time. So if you're struggling with something and saying, when, Lord, when is it going to happen? Your goal is just to say, Lord, I will trust you. Because it says, at the right time, at the time the Lord appointed, things happened. And of course, we have to celebrate those moments when the thing that we've been praying for, we receive it. So they were very joyous when their son Isaac was born. Because she said, like, how can an old woman like me give birth? So she was super happy. So we have to be joyful as well when we get the things that we've been asking the Lord for. And when that happens, we have to trust and recognize that God is faithful to you. And I'm speaking to our very young people here, is that you've got your whole life ahead of you, and so do we. All I'm saying is that your runway is a bit longer than some of ours. Eh? So learn from this very young age to trust the Lord. be very purposeful about spending time with the Lord, developing your relationship with Him, so that by the time you get to our age, when trouble comes, you know where to turn to, because you've already developed the pathways of trusting in the Lord. Amen? And we have to have encounters in our lives. Abraham had personal encounters with the Lord where God promised him something, and obviously God followed through. So we recognize that God will come through. If He says something, it's absolutely going to happen. So through prayer, reading our Bible, this is where whether somebody prophesies over you that XYZ is coming your way and you believe it in your heart, trust that the Lord is going to follow through for you at the right time. So in Genesis chapter 2, so we get to a point now where the Lord says they meet at this oak of Mamre. They meet at a place, and God says, look, when I come next year, you're going to have a child. Okay, great. Then in chapter 22, in fact, in chapter 21, the son that they're waiting for is born. So you can imagine they were super happy. Very, very happy that God has finally come through for me, the thing that I wanted the most. Now, we all know what it's like to desire something. I don't know for you know, for some of us, it's we might not desire boats, we desire shoes. And so when we hold on and we have the ability to purchase another pair or two of shoes, when they come, we feel really good. Wow, I'm so excited. I've got this. And I don't know for you what it is that you've been praying for and you received, and you're very excited. Imagine now the excitement that Sarah and Abraham had, because she was so glad. She was so glad that, wow, I've now got a baby at 90 years old. What seemed impossible is now what? It's happened. If you saw a 90-year-old woman with a baby, you'd be super surprised. Would you be mad at her for being happy? No, you'd be very happy for them. Yes. Then now we get to chapter 22. And then it says, sometime later. So God, this tells me that, you see, God comes at certain intervals in our lives. We're not going to hear from the Lord every day. We're not going to be having those special encounters with the Lord every day. This is why it says sometime later. So one day when you're reading your Bible, one day when you're praying, God is going to speak to you. So he says sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And then he says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Do you guys have a new kid, Elvis? Whose baby is that? Is that your son? Oh. Oh, okay. I thought there was a brand new baby. I mean, just like, okay, it's Jabari. So, yeah, you were just messing with my mind. Okay, it's a 2-year-old boy. All right. Sorry. Take your son, your only son. Why would he have to say it? Take your son, your only son, and then he says, yes, Isaac. How many sons did Abraham have at this time? Two. He had Ishmael, and God is making a distinction that this is the child of promise. This is the child through which all the promises that I have given you are going to come through. And he says, I want you to take that one that you were waiting for a long time for. Remember that Ishmael was a manufactured child in the sense that Abraham had to sleep with his wife's servant, and then they got a child. Whereas this boy was the boy of promise. So he's identifying this thing that you love very much. Go and sacrifice him. In verse 3, it says, the next morning, Abraham got up early, he saddled his donkey, he took two of his servants with him, along with the son Isaac. He chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him. On the third day of their journey, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," he told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further, or farther. We will worship there and we'll come right back." So he then goes to talk about a moment where, as they're going, after they've left the servants, the young boy is carrying the wood on his back. And he obviously asked the father, I can see that you've got the wood for the burnt offering, but where is the ram?" And the father said, "Don't worry, you know, the Lord will provide whatever." And so they carried on the journey. He ties the son up and then begins to get a very sharp knife, maybe your sharpest kitchen knife, and says, "It's plunge time." In this instance, perhaps Miss Harriet here would have been asked to sacrifice Mr. Joseph, which Bert would not allow, of course. But just as he's about to plunge the knife in, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham says, "Yes, I am. Here I am." And he says, "Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for I now know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Recognize this. The only time that God intervened in this situation was when he realized that Abraham had given up his son in his heart, that he was truly willing to follow through. It's only in that moment that God said, "Okay, I've provided another way for you." We might, up until we release things properly, you're not really going to hear from the Lord. It tells us that he was able to provide because he recognized that in his heart, Abraham had said, "Okay, I'm going to kill my son." Then the angel of the Lord said again to Abraham, "This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld your son, even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me." In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, there's an encounter that a young man has, which they call the rich young ruler, he had with Jesus. He says, someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There's only one who's good." And then he says, "But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" You know, it's good. The guy was saying, "Let's be specific here, Jesus. Which ones should I keep?" And then Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your mother and father, and love your neighbor as yourself." And so when he heard this, he was very happy. He says, "I've obeyed all these commandments. What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." So when he heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. There will come a time in our life where there's going to be the test of sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. He trusted God's goodness, while the rich young ruler could not yield his wealth. He found it very difficult because when he was told what he needed to do, that was very hard for him. And that's why it says he went away sad. When we look at the life of Abraham, on the other hand, God told him, let's say, today, and then it says, And his response was immediate, because it said the next day he saddled the donkey, chopped the wood, what was required. God told him what to do, and then he sort of like knew, okay, these are the steps I have to do. If I'm going to sacrifice him, I'm going to need some wood. And so he gathered everything that was required and went on his way. He did not delegate the tasks, because sacrifice cannot be delegated. I have a son, he's 19. I'm not necessarily in the best of shape. I'm in 46-year-old shape. And so I say to him, Mandla, do you mind going to the gym on my behalf? So he will go to the gym, and then I say, today I want you to work, you know, I think I want bigger arms, work on my arms. And then, in fact, I was wearing a T-shirt one that said, I have chicken legs. And so anyway, I get to the airport, and you know, the ladies at the security, she looked at my T-shirt, then she looked at my legs, and she says, yes, you do have chicken legs. So I'm saying, Mandla, since can you go and do some squats for me? You get the pain, I get the reward. You cannot delegate. Sacrifice cannot be delegated. Because true sacrifice cannot be delegated or handed off to someone else. It requires personal commitment and willingness to get our hands dirty. It means stepping into the challenge ourselves, fully engaged, fully invested. And so just like Abraham, we are called to be personally involved in what God asks of us, putting our own faith and trust on the line. So unfortunately, I cannot delegate the task of getting into shape to my son. I have to put in the time myself. So the life that God calls you and I to live is one of sacrifice and yieldedness. Though it may be a lonely road, its rewards are eventually enjoyed in the open for all to see. So we've got some young people here, both boys and girls, that play soccer. So they train through possibly rain, sunshine. There's no snow here, so we can't say that. But they train privately. But when they play and win, the labors are open for everybody to see. The rewards they get are open. So it's like watching football on the TV. It's quite easy for us to think that these athletes are not exerting any effort. You know why? Because we don't get to hear them breathe or feel that their lungs are burning. And so we just think that it's all, you know, there's just wooden people going up and down. But there's a lot of exertion that's actually taking place. So sacrifice and yieldedness is a lonely place. It's a lonely road, but its rewards are eventually enjoyed in the open. So if I can see, what was it that sustained Abraham compared to the rich young ruler, that the rich young ruler, when he was presented with the test of sacrifice, he went away and he's like, I can't do this. I can't. You know why? He couldn't sacrifice because he had many possessions. Abraham had the most precious thing, yet he was willing to sacrifice it. What was it about his life that allowed him to do that? Number one, there's three things, three reflections. His life was marked by altars. Wherever he went, if you read from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, it will tell you that when Abraham got to this place, he built an altar to the Lord. He moved to another place, he built another altar, which is just an opportunity to say dedication to the Lord. Dedicated, prayer, all that, that's what he was doing in his life. He was building the disciplines that he required where he was able to do what? Develop the relationship that he needed with the Lord. So our lives are marked by moments where we align ourselves with God. Each time that we spend with the Lord praying, each time that we spend reading the Word of God, we are realigning ourselves with the plans of God for our lives. Because each time we choose to trust Him and choose to build our own altars where He says, this is what I want you to do, that will give us the strength that we need when the tests come our way. Because I've developed trust. If I was to take out a $100 bill, you guys have we've all developed trust in $100 or $50, whatever the currency is, that if I go and I say, here's my money, they will accept it as long as it's not counterfeit. Generally, we've got faith that if I go and I purchase things worth $98, they will definitely give me back $2. So there's a faith that has been developed because we trust that the legal tender of the government, they're backing it, that if you present this money at Woolworths, at JD, whatever shop you go to, they will accept it. His life, number two, the encounters that he had with God strengthened his faith. One of the things the Lord is challenging me on, and I will digress very quickly here. If you look at the life of Job in the Bible, it talked about Job would always pray for his children. Lord, if my children are sinning, please forgive them. He would intercede for them. But guess what happened? When the day of disaster came, when attacks came, his children could not stand because they had not developed a faith of their own. The challenge that we have as parents is that, are we equipping our children so that they can fight their own battles? Because the enemy is always on go mode. He's always attacking. Will your children, whilst of course they've got our covering, but will they be able to sustain the attacks themselves? That's the challenge for you and I. So we need those daily encounters with the Lord. Because each encounter that we have, God is reaffirming his promises and he's deepening our faith. So for us, he provides encounters and reminders of how faithful he is along the way, shaping our trust in him. Even when we don't understand, Lord, I'll trust you that you've got my best interests at heart. So when the day of testing comes, you are responding immediately. I don't know about you, how many people have the Lord has spoken to them and it's taken you years to respond to what God has said? Is our response immediate? You know? Is our response immediate to the Lord? And of course, despite Abraham, the third thing he did, he was yielded despite his imperfections. He wasn't a perfect man. As far as I know, that he was a liar. He lied that his wife was his sister. He didn't want to get into trouble with the Philistines, Abimelech and them. But his heart remained yielded to God. And one of the prayers I've often prayed is this: may I please have a soft spot for the Lord, so that when he whispers to me, I just have the courage to say yes. I have the courage to say yes to God. We just have to have an open heart that is willing to do what? To trust him even when we face the hardest tests. And this is a small thing. There was a time I couldn't get work. Couldn't get work. And one of my friends said, oh, why don't you lie on your resume and say that you have done X, Y, Z in Zimbabwe? They're never going to know. Yes. Because I just put a number. I could have given them my friend, I'd put in my friend's phone number from Zimbabwe and said at X, Y, Z company. And they would have called me and said, do you know Stephen Mugwenzi? Has he worked for you? And he would obviously tell them a lie. And this is what I said to him. I said, I get it. And he did that. And he got a very good job. The bank. I won't tell you what bank. But Yeah, you got a very good job. And I remember saying to myself that I'm not going to do that, because so that when the Lord delivers me and finally gives me a job, then he's going to get all the glory. But also, how can I lie and then go to the Lord and say, can you please provide me a job? So that gives us the strength as we have these encounters with the Lord. We trust him, even though we are facing hard tests and trials in our lives. But how do you let go of something that you hold dear? You've prayed for something, you've received it. And then all of a sudden the Lord says, hey, you know that job that you've been praying for, and you're getting all this money, I want you to give some of it away. How do you let go of something that you hold dear? Abraham's yieldedness contrasted with the young ruler's inability to surrender his security and possessions because he just said, this is too difficult for me. I can't sell my possessions. The only problem was not having the possessions. That was good. It is just that he placed his faith and trust in the possessions more than he did in God. Sometimes the sacrifice God asks of us is something we've prayed for and received, yet it has become the focus of our affection, taking the place of God in our hearts. And you know what? This may not have happened to you yet. I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, it's coming, one way or the other. Sometimes these things that we hold on to, there could be things that we struggle with in our lives, sins and habits that only God knows. We're hesitant to surrender because they've provided a lifeline for us. We've become so addicted to our pain, and we've become addicted to our addictions that it's very hard for us to let them go, even though we know they hinder our relationship with God. This is why, you see, in the Old Testament, it said, it must be in Leviticus, but I'll paraphrase. Remember that the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. Let me stand here. Okay. So when he went in there, it says that make sure you tell the priest that when he goes in, remember they wore long garments, those guys, long garments. And he says make sure that the priest had to wear his underwear. It says the linen breeches. Tell me, who would know whether or not he was wearing those things? Only God knew that he had to be wearing that. And I wonder, because if he wasn't, when he went into the Holy of Holies and offered sacrifices, guess what would happen? He would die. And that's why they would pull him out with a rope. There are things in our lives that we have hid. But the good thing is that God, what? God sees. Would you be willing today to surrender those things to the Lord? And understand that God's provision will always follow your surrender. Never before. God's provision will always follow surrender. Has anyone got the time? 12:12. Okay, I'm wrapping up. Abraham surrendered the most precious to him. The most precious thing, he surrendered. The rich young ruler left sorrowful, missing the greater reward. Now understand this about this rich young ruler. Most of those 6 commandments he was told had to do with how he related to people around him. It had to do with how he... Now, you can have an outward religion, but have zero commitment on the inside. So you do all those behavioral things on the outside, but inside, there's no real commitment. And this is why he left sorrowful, because he was just like, no, I can't do this. So the return on investment in your obedience is unmatched. You may lose something now, but you gain far more than you give up. You will lose something now, but gain something far more than you give up. And so the question I have for all of us this morning is that, will future generations thank you for your obedience? Because remember, it says at the end of, I think, verse 22, it says that because all your children are going to defeat the enemies, their enemies. And it says, because you have obeyed me. Now, I wonder for you, will future generations thank you for your obedience? Or will your name fade into obscurity because you are unwilling to pay the price? If you have issues in your life, so what I would ask everybody to do, one of the things I always think it's important to develop spiritual intelligence. Look at your family. Look at the great-grandfather, the grandfather, if you can go back that far, look at the father, and then of course you look at yourself, and you ask yourself this question: what affected those people? What were the common things that happened in our family? Was there lots of children running around? Like in my family, I'll just confess that, and I hope my sisters don't listen to this, but anyway, that our issue in our family is that our fathers had children with many women. It was the same thing, same pattern. And all of a sudden, we start to see that in the next generation, we start to see that pattern. That all of a sudden, there's children with lots of different people. Now, the reason why now we are aware that, okay, because the enemy that you're facing, he's not going to come up with new tricks. It is the exact same tricks he used on your family, he used on your father, he used on his father, that he's using on you. Now, here, let's just use both. We're talking mother and father here. So understand and be aware, what were the prevailing issues in our family? Because now you can develop some spiritual intelligence. I'll tell you, this Abraham that we're talking about here, he had his son Isaac, and then they had the son Jacob. They all were liars. They all lied. So that tells us that there is certain intelligence that we can get by looking at what the issues in our families were. So now, guess what? I'm praying, Lord, help me, please, Lord, so that I be a man of one woman. Because I understand the pressures that came from my father's family. My father had 26 children. Not with one lady. God bless. You know, imagine if it was one lady, poor lady. So do you understand that we can glean spiritual intelligence on how the battles we fight? So I'm saying, will future generations thank you for your obedience? If you've got issues in your life, get the help you need so that your children don't have to fight the same battles that you fight. And please, things happen in life. You know, people get divorced, all that kind of stuff. Things happen that's beyond their control. So just understand that. And then maybe don't necessarily think, oh, this is going to happen to me. No, I'm not suggesting saying that. But will future generations thank you for your obedience now, so your children don't fight the same battles you fought? You know my story. I've said many times, my addiction to shopping. It sounds like a man is addicted to shopping. You know, trust me, they are. Just like there are men who gossip. So please, get the help you need. It's up until I heard the whisper of, I heard a thought come through. Mr. Stephen, if you take two trousers off this rack, if you take two pairs of shoes off the shelf, They're going to replace it with four pairs of stuff. These things don't finish. And I realized that I was feeding. That shopping was just feeding a vacuum in my life. And that the Lord had to deal with that with me. So do the work that you need to do to get the freedom that you need so that your children don't go through the same stuff that you went through. So let's stand this morning as we finish. I'll get the keys and the guitar going, please. So what are you holding on to that God is asking you to yield? What are you holding on to that God is asking you to yield? So yielding in sacrifice opens the door for God's greater provision and blessings in your life. Abraham built altars wherever he went. He lived in a tent, so it's just like living in a camper van. It's not fixed to the ground. Wherever you move, it goes. But you build sacrifices. There are certain disciplines that you need to maintain in your life, like prayer, like fasting, like reading your word. Those things have to remain because that's what is going to sustain you. It will give you the discernment that you need when you know what God is asking for you to surrender. You see, we talked about the best guide that we have on being yielded is the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he was facing his biggest test, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." So he didn't settle for the second best. He went for God's ideal. And so when we pray, we lay down our desires and our attachments, trusting that God is going to make a way for us. So, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for C3 Kwinana. That, Lord God, you are calling us to live a life of sacrifice and yieldedness to you. And whatever it is, Lord God, that you're asking us to lay down and to yield, so that, Father, we would be like Abraham, quick to respond, because we know that sacrifice cannot be delegated. That, Father, we would lay hold of the ideal that you have in our lives, that we would walk with you, Lord God, trusting in you, developing the skill and the ability to hear what you're saying. No matter what our age is, none of us are exempt, Lord God, from the temptations of life, from the attacks of the enemy. And so, Father, help us to build the necessary tools and disciplines in our life that will sustain us, Father, and give us the courage that when the day of testing comes, the day of sacrifice comes, our response is going to be immediate. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to pray for this as we sing and we finish. I sense the Lord said to me this morning that for those that some of you need to answer the call of the Lord. You know that God has spoken to you over the years. And he's saying this morning, answer the call of the Lord. And for those who have been waiting for an answer, I'm going to pray again just for strength and courage to hold on and to continue trusting the Lord, recognizing that he has got an appointed time for you. And for others, God is saying, no more hiding. No more hiding behind your fears and saying, I'm not going to step out. And then this, if you're waiting for to hear the Lord speak to you again, I'm asking, have you obeyed the last thing the Lord said to you? You're not getting a new word up until you obey the old word. So we're going to sing, what song are we singing? Yeah, that's the one.
Firm Foundation.
Firm Foundation. We're going to sing a Firm Foundation and If you have to go, if we have to leave, please, we love you and God bless you. But we're going to pray that if you need prayer, please come to the front. Have you obeyed the last thing the Lord said to you? Answer the call of God. And I'll pray. Can we sort of like, start singing in the background, please?